Hi, listening friend. I've changed the opening music just for today because of our special guest, but we're certainly glad you're tuned in. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's August 21st, 2013, T-minus 3 days to our Israel celebration. I'm sure after today's broadcast, you're going to be calling in and RSVPing because you'll be motivated by our special guest today, Omer Eshel. He's Israel's Tourism Council Director, and you're going to so appreciate his knowledge of the land of Israel, his passion for the Bible, his desire and enthusiasm for connecting the biblical narrative to life experiences when you travel to Israel, and just his knowledge. Omer majored in historical geography and religion at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, where he got his bachelor's degree. His university studies followed the mandatory 3 years of service in the Israeli Defense Forces. He served as a general manager of the Kibbutz Opan program, overseeing all kibbutz-based Hebrew language institutes in Israel. Also served as an educational emissary for the Jewish Agency in Ontario for 3 years. He's completed the highly respected and prestigious training program of Israel Ministry of Tourism. So he's an accomplished tour guide. He's overseen the Ministry of Tourism marketing program for those from Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Russia, and Ukraine. He's served as a head of staff for Israel's national parks at Qumran, Megiddo, Beit Shearim, and other locations. He speaks 5 languages. He's married and has a daughter, and he's coming down this Saturday for an event you don't want to miss. Let me also say we're going to preempt SRN News, because when we finished taping our program a few days ago, I kept recording our conversation, and you'll find Omer's great sense of humor and a couple extra fun conversations that I continued to record. So the special celebration is happening this Saturday at my homestead, which is on the west end of Mahomet. Food and fellowship from 3 to 5. The band Northwind will present at 4:30 under a large tent that'll accommodate 150 to 200 people. The formal program will go 5 to 7, which will include special music by Debbie Phillips. Omer Eshel will share and have a time of question and answer. Pastor Jason will deliver a message. And then I have a special treat to close out our time together. So 5 to 7 will be the program. You must RSVP at 217-367-7777. And we're providing burgers and hot dogs and other fixins. I think we have 50 or so different people that are going to bring dishes to pass. So if you'd like to bring some chips or a 2-liter or some other snacks, that would be great. But to RSVP, call 217-367-7777. And as mentioned, the following conversation Jason and I had with Omer just recently, and we began by blessing him with the following special song.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
How about that for starting your day off?
I got chills. The priest, this is the priest's blessing. You know, we give this blessing. I give this blessing every Shabbat evening. I give this blessing to my daughter, and every Shabbat evening, my father used to give this blessing to me.
Mm. Now, you talked about earlier off air your family being steeped in the scriptures and traditions and even the name of your wife and your daughter. So tell me a little about them and the significance of their names.
Well, Bible plays a very, very, very important role in our family. We live by it, and that is why all our names are taken from the Bible. I mean, my name, for example, Omer, it's the counting of the Omer. That's the offering of the wheat to the temple. And my wife's name is Michal, that she's named after King Saul's daughter, the one that was offered to David. Doesn't make me David, but it's a nice start. And our daughter name is Elah. And she's named after the battle recounted in 1 Samuel 17, David versus Goliath. So that's the Elah Valley.
Does that say something about parenting? Like David versus Goliath? I feel like that some days.
And you're going to be bringing your wife and your daughter to our Israel celebration this Saturday, a few days away, and we're excited to have you down for you to share your love for the land and to help us understand why a pilgrimage, why touring Israel, having the Bible come alive is an important aspect of what you love to see happen, and you've seen happen many, many times, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm truly blessed and honored to be among the Great News Radio family. Actually, it's funny when you look at the name, Gospel. Gospel is good news. That's the meaning of the word, Gospel. When you come to speak about the land of God in a radio show that is called Good News, that is a true blessing. It really is. I'm so honored. And thank you so much, you, Mark and Jason, for inviting us over.
And you'll be bringing your wife and daughter down. And so we're excited to have you in central Illinois here. And you're going to be sharing about the land and your work and growing up in Israel. And I think there's been four generations in your family that have lived in Israel.
Absolutely. My great-grandfather came to Israel, again, because of the love of the Bible. So he came to Jezreel Valley. It was funny. He came to Jezreel Valley because it was the first Jewish farming establishment in the north. And second, this was my great-grandfather. He said he wanted to live at the place where the Philistine encamped before the battle against Saul in 1 Samuel 29 and 30. And that's Shunem. Merchavia, my home, is actually half a mile from Shunem. That's the reason why he went there.
Now, was he a part of that initial kibbutz movement? And maybe explain to our listeners what the kibbutz movement is or what it is to live on a kibbutz. You were the general manager of the Kibbutz Opan program, so I'm sure you're familiar with that. And was your family a part of living on kibbutzims?
No, my family, we lived in a moshav. Moshav is a kind of like a kibbutz, but it's more of an American version of a village. That's a moshav. A kibbutz is actually a way of shared life. So what happened in the early 20s, when the life in Israel was so difficult, is right after the Ottoman Empire left and the British came over, there were a lot of malarias, and the place was complete desert, and it looked pretty bad. So the only way to survive was to help each other and live in a community which is self-sustained. And that is why the kibbutzim actually was all over Israel. Kibbutz is from the word to gather together. So it was a gathered communities that were autarkic. They self-sustained themselves.
Yeah, no, when we're in Israel, it's always interesting to hear about how they shared clothing and work and assignments and how the children were raised. And it was like a community, a commune where, you know, nobody had their own things. It was all shared. And it was an interesting concept that really helped birth and solidify these people that were learning to farm and, you know, because they had nothing when they came to Israel. And yet how the land now, the land of milk and honey, is so blossomed and is so productive and is incredible these many years, what has happened, the transformation of the land.
There's one of my favorite authors. He's an American author that everybody knows him, but his name is Mark Twain. Now, Mark Twain was in Israel under the Turks. We're talking about the late 19th century. And he wrote a book by the name Innocents Abroad. Now, if you skip all the beginning of the book till page 300, then it gets interesting because then he speaks about Israel. He speaks about a desert land with horrible people, famine, disease. He said that this is the most barren land he'd ever seen in his life. We're talking not even 150 years ago. And one of my favorite things in the world to do is to read that chapter inside a forest in Israel. Because the kibbutzim and the Zionist movement, we planted more trees than any other nation in history. And this is the prophets of Isaiah. When Isaiah was talking about, well, I know the verse in Hebrew, I'll try to translate, that the desert will bloom and will be flourish. Yisusu midbar v'tzion.
So what do you think was key in that changing? I mean, from what we see today is if a pilgrim leaves and goes to Israel today versus what Mark Twain saw then, what was the catalyst for the land of Israel to become what it is today?
Well, the reason for people to come as a pilgrims to Israel was since Abram, when the Lord told him, you will go to the place that I will show you, he actually started this movement of pilgrim to Israel. We always had that. But the big difference is that when Mark Twain was in Israel, it was not a democracy, and the place was completely destroyed after 2,000 years of wars between empires. Completely destroyed, and the roads were extremely unsafe. It was not a good place to visit. I'm talking 150 years ago. And today, because Israel is a democracy and we have freedom of religion, you can go anywhere. You can read the Gospels and see anything you wish to see, and it's a free access, and it's completely safe. So if Mark Twain would have written today the book Innocence Abroad, that will be a completely different story.
Mm. So tell me, Omer, how does, when I read your bio here, how does somebody go from overseeing this kibbutz, being a general manager there, to now it says that you are in charge of the marketing programs for the Ministry of Tourism in America, Eastern Europe, Central Europe, Russia, and the Ukraine? I mean, that's a pretty broad palette.
Well, I always say, you know, I go wherever the good Lord tells me to go. So if he directs me to come to the States, who am I to make the difference? It's a big difference, there's no doubt. But my passion is to the land, and my passion is to the state of Israel. And by being the general manager of the kibbutz Ulpan, that tourists are coming to Israel and learning Hebrew in a kibbutz, and I saw the light in their eyes when they came. I'm talking not just, by the way, not just Jewish and Christian. When they came to Israel to learn Hebrew in a kibbutz, and they could understand the Gospels better, because in Hebrew, in any translation, it's not the same as the source. So when they understood the Holy Scriptures better, their eyes just lit up. And I said, I have to take this law, these words of God, and take it abroad. In the word of the prophet Isaiah, for out of Zion shall go for the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's exactly it. So here I am.
Yeah, I say that often to folks. I've led a number of classes regarding, you know, Land of Israel and Christians and evangelicals. You know, it's this idea between this Eastern and Western. And as Western people, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, the Eastern sensibilities, the Eastern sense of humor, the Eastern culture is so different than Western culture that we read the Old Testament scriptures, we read the New Testament, we read the whole of the Bible, and some points were lost because we don't understand where this book was written. We don't understand where God wrote this book at. And so what kind of unique challenges are there for you, Omer, as you're dealing with a primarily Western culture, trying to introduce them to a very Eastern culture? As you said, you give people a piece of scripture, but my gosh, there's such a richness to the meaning. God never just penned these simple words. He penned words that had depth. And I think, as a rabbi say, Heschel quoted 27 layers of depth and meaning to every word in the Bible.
Absolutely. You know, any one of us who claim to say that he can read the Bible and say word for word, that's a false claim. We cannot understand because this is the word of God. We are humans. But when you are in Israel, you can have a better understanding of the geography and why the stories were written like this. Exactly as you said, we come from, especially in the States, and the States is a Western civilization, but we have to remember that Israel is also a Western civilization. At the time that the Bible was written, it was an Eastern civilization, but it's not the same as the East that we know today. It's different. This is the East that gave birth to the Byzantine Empire, which adopted Christianity. So the roots of Christianity are actually Eastern and not Western. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is, when you go to Israel and you read the name of the places, these are the same places. When you're going to Michmash and you read about how Jonathan in his arm barrier went through the cliffs and surprised the Philistines, and that is why Saul victored a tremendous victory against a huge army of the Philistines, you see the canyon, and you can imagine him sneaking from behind. The stories themselves happened in a real place. And when you're there in Israel, you open the good book and you read it, you see it for yourself, and the next time you're going to be back in the States, and you're going to read the Bible on Sunday or before you go to sleep, you can close your eyes and you can imagine that you were there. You saw the. You know exactly what the Bible is talking about.
You're ringing my bell. I'll use one of Jason's phrases because I could get on a whole tangent and get passionate about this, and we'll come back to this. But something recently that Jason and I shared, and I can't remember who did the radio spot, but we referenced the Land of Israel like the fifth gospel, and somebody called in and was kind of upset, like that we were equating like there are only the four gospels, and how could we say something like that? But it was like a reference because oftentimes or many times, and in my case, I've seen hundreds of people experience it, when you're in the land where the biblical narrative starts coming alive because you see the terrain, the sights, the sounds, the smells, the distances, you start identifying with the biblical story because you can say, wow, he had to climb over this, or I can see this better now that I've been on the Sea of Galilee and seen the mountain ranges. And so in a sense, when you say, or you've probably maybe shared or heard, coming to the land of Israel is like experiencing the fifth gospel. Have you seen that seemingly true?
I think it's 100% correct. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. And I tell you even more than that. As we said, gospel is good news. And what is better good news than to experience yourself? The fact that the Bible is made out of the four gospels, in order for you to really understand the good news, you need to see where it came from. So when you're in Israel, it's not a written gospel. It's a spiritual gospel. It's completely different. It's not competing against Mark or Luke or John. Not at all. It's not in the same level. This is geography. This is three dimension. And the gospel themselves are two dimension because they're written in the Bible.
Yeah, I would share from my own testimony. I think it was in my first trip. We were up at Dan, where they've uncovered the gate into the city of Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the most powerful things from the whole entire trip was I just stopped, and I just started stomping my feet on the rocks. Because those are the actual rocks of the actual street to the gate of Dan. And in that moment, it was like this flood of, oh my gosh, you know, Boaz didn't go to this gate, but he would have gone to a gate very much like this when he was, you know, going to make this decision regarding Ruth. And this is the gate in Proverbs 31 that it talks about, that the elders, you know, and the man is revered there because of what his wife, a part of how his wife leads and guides in their family. And I thought, what a powerful place for us to biblically understand. And it was, for me, a great moment, not only for me biblically, but for me in my marriage, too, thinking about Proverbs 31 and that. And I wouldn't have had that experience here in a room reading the Bible. I had that there as my feet were actually on the ground.
And I think you were identifying with the many feet, the many years, the many pilgrims, the actual life experiences of others that walked on that very pavement, and how just that whirlwind of emotions and thoughts, like, wow, this is a real place where real historical events took place.
You know, you're absolutely correct. And when you look at Tel Dan, I'll share with you and of course, the Good News Radio listeners, an experience that I had in Tel Dan. I walked inside the city, and I saw the altar. There's an ancient altar over there. And I imagined the golden calf of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Because that's the place. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like, so this is it. And I'm closing my eyes, and I'm imagining all the noise and all the rackets are going around behind me, or all these false worshiping to a demigod. And I'm imagining, and then I'm jumping forward to the destruction of the kingdom of Israel by the Assyrians. And this is where it started. This is where it started. This is the same calf that Moses broke the Ten Commandments because of the same demigod. And I'm standing in front of the altar that probably, if it's that altar right next to it, that demigod was stationed by Jeroboam. Mm. And you really understand it. You get to such a deep thinking and diving into the Bible. You're actually going back in time. It's incredible, incredible experience. Mm.
Before I ever went to Israel, I prayed for many, many years. And I would just say to all of our listeners, those people who are listening right now, that the first step in going on a trip to the land of Israel is to begin to pray about that trip. Begin to ask God, because I prayed many years before I ever even had an opportunity to go to Israel. And I circled in my Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of my favorite chapters in Deuteronomy. But there's this, it says, these are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and to observe in the land. And it says later on, it says, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all of his decrees and commands. And if we are interconnected, if this God is the same God we all worship, then we're deeply connected to Deuteronomy. We're deeply connected to the land and the decrees and the laws, and my children and my children's children and their children's children should walk in the land where these laws and decrees, and they should teach and be taught within the land also. And those are my reasons, Omer, why I believe someone should go to Israel. But I would love to know why you feel somebody should go.
And in our closing couple minutes, also maybe answer that. And you're going to be here in a few days. Give us a little sneak preview of maybe some of the things you'd like to share.
Sure thing. Well, I'm going to start answering, of course, with the question that you asked. The reason why someone should go to Israel is because you will never read the Bible the same way. After you see it come to life in three dimensions, you see it before your very eyes. You walk at the same footsteps of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, of Samuel, of Jesus. Jesus never left Israel. When you think about it, he never left Israel. You see the same landscape. Maybe the cities are different because, you know, we're in the 21st century and he was in the first century. But the layout of the land is exactly the same. And when Jesus is walking from Capernaum to Mount of Beatitude, the reason is because Mount of Beatitude is just above Capernaum. That's logically where you, me, anybody will do that because that's the mountain which is the closest. And only then you can truly understand the Bible. You can really go into the mindset of the prophets and the kings and everybody and the disciples and Jesus himself and understand the parables and understand everything. And when you go back home to the States or to any other country and read the good book to your family, you can look at your children. I do that every night with my daughter. You can look at your children's eyes and tell them, I can explain to you better why the Bible says this.
And you're going to have an opportunity to share with many of our Great News Radio listeners, many that have traveled to Israel 1, 2, 5, 10, 12 times, I think. And you're going to be able to meet some of the best listeners in the world. And so we're excited to have you down this Saturday. Our program's from 3 to 5, Food and Fellowship. And we're having North Wind provide some great music. And Debbie Phillips is going to sing. We're going to have Pastor Jason Schiffo share some words. And I'll certainly say something and maybe some other special guests and include you, and we're going to be praying up your health. And in our closing minute, can you give us a sneak preview of something that might be on your heart that you're going to share this Saturday?
Absolutely. First of all, it's a wonderful opportunity for anyone. I encourage anyone that listens right now to find a story in the Bible that really talks to him. This is one of his favorite stories. And ask me when I'm going to be there, because I'm a tour guide in Israel, how it really looks like. And when I'm going to go to Israel and I want to see, for example, my favorite is the death of Saul in Samuel 1:28, how does the land look like? And how will I be connected to that specific story? And I'll be there, of course, to answer any question regarding to the connection between the good book and the land, and to share some stories that I had as a boy growing up. My home was less than 3 miles away from where Jesus walked as a child from Nazareth. So I'll be more than happy to answer any question that may occur.
Yeah, we'll have a good Q&A time. The event is this Saturday. 3 to 5 is the food and fellowship and the musical start, and then our formal program will be 5 to 7. I have a big tent all set up, and we're going to have a great time. Lots of fixins. Our radio listeners are bringing food, and I'm going to have burgers and hot dogs for all. So it's going to be a great event this Saturday, and we're excited to have you down. So thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, and God's best to you and your family, and we look forward to meeting everyone in just a few days.
Thank you, and shalom to everybody, and God bless.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Co-host Pastor Jason and I recently had this conversation with Omer. Isn't he a great guy with a wonderful sense of humor? Well, I continue to record our conversation, as recorded a few days ago, and Omer talks some more about what it's like to walk and learn and travel around Israel, and this is what he had to say.
I travel in Israel before I came to the States every weekend. Every weekend where I used to open the Bible and I said to my wife, let's go visit Endor, visit the witch. Well, yeah, just according to the Bible. And I can tell you, as much as I'm a tour guide and fourth generation and I plow the land myself, I come from a farming background, if I'll tell you that I know 5% of Israel, I'll be exaggerating, because we keep on finding new stuff all the time. It's just, you know what? 2 days ago, this is hot news. 2 days ago, they found a huge Crusader hospital underneath the old city.
Yeah, I just saw that. In fact, Biblical Archaeology sends me an email like almost every day, and they just had that and said that the tourism, isn't tourism hot on being able to get that open for tourists pretty quick?
Yeah, this year. They want to make a restaurant out of it.
Oh,
how cool is that? I mean, think about it. You're gonna have a meal in a Crusader home of 1,000 years ago.
Tea and triage with the Crusaders.
Oh.
Triage with the Crusaders. Yeah.
Well, again,
yeah, they weren't the nicest people, but they built very nicely.
Now, don't forget, you must RSVP to attend this Saturday's event, August 24th, on the West End of Mahomet. Call 217-367-7777 to get registered and enjoy our Israel celebration. You're going to really like this closing little conversation we had about Omer making some brownie points by bringing some Israeli olive oil for Tasha, Jason's wife. Here's how we closed out our time together. So, hey, yeah, if you want to hit a home run, some brownie points with Jason's wife.
Sure. You know what? I think I know of another place where to get an Israeli olive oil.
Oh, I'm telling you what. She went yesterday. We got a place here in Champaign called the World Market, and she went there, and she was looking through, and the guy who owns it came up, and he said, "Are you looking for her?" And she said, "I'm looking for olive oil," and she's explaining it, and he's saying, "Well, look, we got this. He's got like 60 kinds of olive oil." And she looks at him, and she goes, "These are not from the land of Israel."
I can get you an olive oil from the land of Israel. I will bring it there down with me.
And she's very pregnant, so you know when Mama wants something, Mama better get something. So, in fact,
absolutely.
What's her delivery date?
If a woman is very pregnant, you very much do whatever she says.
Yeah. You know what? David and Goliath, right?
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, I've preempted SRN News to fit in all of our conversation with Israel Tourism Council Director Omer Eshel, who will be at this Saturday's Israel celebration, that you're all invited. But RSVP as soon as possible. I'll increase our order of burgers and hot dogs and other fixins. You can find out more information, get directions, and come celebrate with us. Hear the band North Wind, special music by Debbie Phillips, teaching, great food, giveaways, and much, much more. Call 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777 if you have more questions or want to register for this Saturday's event. And if you've always wondered about the nature trail that I've worked on for years, or what that tree fort is like overlooking the Sangamon River, or maybe you want to get into one of my kayaks or canoes, you can do it this Saturday. But let us know you're coming, and maybe you want to bring a dish to pass. That would be great, or bring a 2-liter and some chips. We'll have lots of food for everyone. But call and register 217-367-7777. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.